Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today on this Thanksgiving 2017. I am a homeschool father of five, and Steve Vaughn in studio with me, a homeschool father of six. Happy Thanksgiving, Steve.
Yeah, well, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Wow, God has been so good to our family. I think the things that we're thankful for this Thanksgiving season is that our children are walking with the Lord. No greater joy than to see our children walking with the Lord. And wow, the Lord has done so many good things in our family's life. And I think about the church body. I think about our opportunities to worship. I think about the freedom that we have in this country. We have islands of freedom.
Yeah, incredible freedom.
Oh, yeah, to take advantage of, especially, say, homeschooling our children. We have cultural islands. We don't have to submit to the zeitgeist. The Lord has given us a great deal of freedom despite the tremendous increase in the control that governments have over every single aspect of life, and yet Christian families can opt out of so much of that thanks to God's provision of freedom. I believe these islands of freedom are provided for God's people who are interested in taking advantage of them. So these are just some of the things that are so wonderful, things that we can enjoy despite the negative things that are happening around us.
Yeah, Abigail and I just got back from Europe last week for an international debate tournament again, and it's, you know, one of the things that I saw over there, especially with teams from China and other places, was the incredible lack of freedom that they have. And while I talked to one coach who was talking about how, well, the government is, you know, very tolerant of religion, tolerant of all of this other stuff, I said, well, what about the underground church? He said, well, they don't like that too much.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right, so the only they're not tolerating are Christians, sadly. Well, but the Lord has given us a great heritage in this country, and this heritage, I think, has allowed for these islands of freedom, which we can take advantage of. And again, these are the things we're thankful for. Well, Black Friday tomorrow.
Yeah. Are you thankful for that?
Not really. We're going to talk a little bit about stuff and America's spending binge. America's back on a spending binge after about 8 years. Remember the Great Recession of 2008? Well, consumer spending now is at its highest level since 2009, and the savings rate in America is the lowest it's been since 2008. That is, Americans are spending, and they are not saving. Well, the New York Fed also puts national household debt at $12.84 trillion, just above the last high that was set just before the 2008 recession at $12.7 trillion. That is, it peaked out in 2008, then it came down, then back up, and now we're at an all-time high. One more time, the New York Fed is putting the national household debt at $12.84 trillion. That is, the burnt fool's bandaged finger goes wobbling back to the fire. Don't you love that line from Rudyard Kipling? That's Rudyard Kipling, Gods of the Copybookians. The burnt fool's bandaged finger goes wobbling back to the fire. You know, this is what has happened since 2008, Steve.
Yeah. And I mean, we just keep, you know, the economy seems to be getting better, and therefore we seem to be able to spend more and seem to be able to have more stuff. And, you know, where do we put this stuff? I mean, that's,
we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But of course, our debt to GDP ratio is now 106%, twice of what it was in 2008. So that's debt to GDP ratio for the United States of America. And of course, of all the developed nations in the world, America is just about the worst. We're right there with Greece, Japan, and Spain. America's debt to GDP ratio now 106% as of the most recent numbers, twice what it was in 2008. We had an opportunity to decrease that during the economic improvement of the last 8 years, but we took full advantage of the last 8 years to increase the debt to GDP ratio, just about double it to 106%. So that's what America's been busy doing, spending their great grandkids into debt and preparing for the next great recession. Excuse me, I should use the word depression. But the next recession / depression has to be something of a mega recession depression, especially since the debt to GDP ratios have been driven up almost twice what it was before the Great Recession of 2008. All right, well, that's where America is. And so America's rushing out on Black Friday to spend more and more money. They're expecting a massive increase, a record amount of spending in the retail business over the next day or two or 3 days. worries. All right, my friends. Well, here's a stat that I don't think anybody's ever reported on. I just checked it out online. There's a statistic out there, and it's called the self-storage unit construction capital outlay stat. Okay, so you know what self-storage units
are.
Yeah,
it's where you put all your extra stuff.
That's right. Exactly. This is where all the stuff goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Ran out of room in my house. Got to get a storage unit.
So here's the index. The index is a self-storage unit construction and capital outlay index. And the self-storage unit construction capital outlay index has risen from $240 million in 2011.
Okay. That's pretty high.
That was pretty high. $240 yeah. million for building self-storage units. $240 million in 2011. Get this, Steve. Just what, 6 years later in 2017, this year, it'll be $3.6 billion.
Whoa! That's like, a six-fold?
No,
that's like
12-fold.
12-fold increase.
Yeah, that's a 12-fold increase, my friends.
Wow.
At least. Actually, closer to a 15-fold. 15-fold increase in self-storage unit construction and capital outlay since 2011. That's just in 6 years. And so this is what the curve looks like. Drawing it, you know. It's kind of a hyperbolic thing.
Yeah.
Okay, does that help you?
It's kind of like
give you the visual here.
Kind of like the temperature model of the model, you know. Only this is a real hockey stick.
The hockey stick thing, yeah. Well, this is exactly what's going on, my friends, with American stuff. Americans are buying more stuff than they ever have, and they need a place to put it.
Yeah, so they're buying it and not enjoying it, I guess.
You just buy stuff.
He who dies with the most stuff wins, right?
Yeah, that's all part of it.
Yeah.
So what you do is you go out and buy stuff, okay?
Yeah.
And then you've got to get a self-storage unit, a larger self-storage unit for all your stuff.
Right, right. And then you have to go get a U-Haul to drag behind your hearse.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, exactly. Because you got to bury it.
That's right, with you. So you can take your stuff with you.
In a very, very large hole.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so that's what's happening. Black Friday 2017. We're drowning in stuff. We're choking in stuff. And my friends, how do Christians relate to this? What does the Word of God say about stuff? Well, the Word of God has one thing to say about stuff, and that is, with food and clothing, therewith be content. And we're going to talk about that next on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back, my friends, in stuff on the Generations Broadcast today. I have a lot of stuff. I have 5 grown children, and their stuff is all over my house.
Yeah, I have 6, and they're not, they're not all grown.
Now, here we are in the studio of my basement. I want you to look over here, Steve.
That looks like Daniel's
stuff. That's Daniel's stuff. That's right. So we tend to, you know, collect stuff for our children.
We moved Zach's stuff to a storage unit because he kept picking up stuff because he's looking at being able to furnish his own house.
That's true.
Eventually, when he moves out, he'll take all that stuff out of storage.
So we understand that. But friends,
yeah.
Americans are putting their stuff in self-storage units at a massive, massive rate. 13-14 fold increase since 2011, just 6 years. Self-storage unit construction capital outlays way up since 2011. All right. Well, now here's the deal about retail. Apparently there will be a retail apocalypse soon to come. This is another indication that consumerism cannot endure forever and ever. Amen. It's just not going to happen. Bloomberg has a extensive article on the retail apocalypse that is coming to America. 6,800 stores closing this year. That's a record.
Yeah, is that,
that's a record. I think something about half of those stores closed last year, year before that, about a third of it, so forth. So you're seeing, again, a massive increase in the percentage or the number of retail stores closing in any given year in the United States of America. 6,800 stores closed just this year, and $9 billion of bankruptcies this year for retail outlets, Toys R Us, Payless Shoes, and a few others. And that's up from $1.5 billion last year. So you see, that's a huge increase in bankruptcies for the retail element, up by, eight fold in just a single year. Friends, $9 billion of bankruptcies recorded so far this year with Toys R Us and Payless Shoes. That's up from Sports Authority, was a big one last year, and that was only about $1.5 billion of bankruptcy. But that's nothing. There's a record $1 trillion in high-yield debt for all industries coming due over the next 5 years, according to Moody. And, you know, have you seen the explosion of new big box stores in just about every city in America over the last 10 to 15 years? You've seen these go up in Castle Rock. You've seen them up in Parker. Different cities in the Denver metro area. And we've seen those in just about every metro area across the United States. And you say, well, how do you build all these new big box stores in every other city in America over the last 15 years? How does that happen? Debt. They do it with debt. They do it with lots and lots and lots of debt because Americans like new stores. America likes big stores. And America likes to shop in these stores. But the problem is the amount of debt it's taken to sustain this amount of consumerism and retail outlets across America simply is not going to be taken care of over the next 5 to 10 years. We have already seen 6,800 stores close. We're talking big box stores close in just the last year, my friends. $9 billion of bankruptcy this year. But I'm telling you, there is a record $1 trillion in high-yield debt coming due over the next 5 years, according to Moody's. The Piper has invoiced. And I'm talking about paying the Piper. Has invoiced. He has invoiced that stack of invoices on your in your inbox there on your desk right now, Steve. That is the Piper. The Piper has invoiced. And we're looking at a record $1 trillion in high-yield debt for retail outlets, according to Moody, coming due in the next 5 years. So according to Charlie O'Shea, who's a retail analyst for Moody's, he says a pall has been cast on retail. Here's the quote, a day of reckoning is coming. Boom, boom, boom. So that's what's going to happen to consumerism in America. You're looking at a bullet hole through the head of retail, and consumerism in America can't live high off the hog for much longer in the United States. And by the way, 81% of Americans' jobs involve the service industry, and 10% of America's jobs involve the retail outlets. In fact, the retail outlets is the number one job in America. That is in terms of numbers. If you look at the Pareto chart for jobs in America, the number one source of income or source of employment in America is the retail industry. And that industry is about ready to go kaboom. So just keep that in mind, my friends. Keep that in mind. America's retail hurrah is coming to an end sometime soon. And what does this mean? What this means is that materialism does not last forever. And no idol, no god will last forever. The gods of the marketplace will soon come collapsing down, and these idols will beat you to death because America is filled with materialism. America has more of a focus upon Black Friday than they have on Thanksgiving and thanking the true and living God for the good gifts that he has given them. And that's the bottom line here. Remember that gratitude is essential, is basic for the Christian life. And my friends, when a society is no longer grateful, when a society no longer gives glory to God, when it is not thankful, it will always spiral down into more lust and more homosexuality, and that's the pattern described in Romans chapter 1. Remember, neither were they thankful, and the result was God gave them up to homosexuality, God gave them up to a debased mind, God gave them up to transgenderism, God gave them up to all of these foolish things, And in the end, the society implodes. Why? Because at the very beginning, they were not thankful. They did not want to go to church to worship God. It was not about worshiping God. It was what was in it for me. That was the main thing for American church attenders. And that, of course, was why they did as much church hopping as they did. And they didn't really want to thank God. They didn't have hearts that were filled with warmth and appreciation and praise for the true and living God and all of his good gifts. And for that reason, my friends, they went off to serve the gods of the heathen, the gods of materialism, the gods of consumerism, and these idols will beat you to death, my friends. These idols will destroy your character, and in the end, they will beat you to death, and that's what's going on in the United States. Now, here's what the Word of God says about self-storage units. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me read it for you. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some uses for them. People are in the transition of moving, as in our kids, on transition of moving out of the house to marry and have their own families and such. I understand self-storage units can be helpful for people in transition. But here's what the Word of God has to say about self-storage units. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, we brought nothing into the world, and neither can we carry anything out of it. So pretty much drop the U-Haul behind the hearse is what we're saying on that one. We brought nothing into the world, and neither can we carry anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Those who want to be rich, however, fall into temptation, and they become ensnared by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. All right, so that's what the Word of God says for those rich people who have all these foolish and harmful desires for more stuff. They will plunge into ruin and destruction. But what we need to do is receive the food that God has given to us and the clothing that God has given to us and be content with it. Now, here's my question. Do you really need a self-storage unit for your three suits of clothing and your breakfast, lunch, and dinner for tomorrow? You follow me there, Steve?
Yeah, unless you eat a lot.
Yeah. Well, if you're using a self-storage unit for your food, I'm guessing that most of it's going to rot.
That's right.
So you better not do that. All right. Also, the Word of God tells us it's better to give than to receive. And these are the principles that I think we need to teach our children, especially during this holiday season. Steve, there are opportunities to give, and we need to open up our coffers and provide more and more to all of these needy ministries around us. Our ministries have been supporting African brothers and sisters, Filipino brothers and sisters, and Mexico brothers and sisters to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars recently. We are contributing as much as we possibly can in good materials to Uganda, for places like Kenya, Zambia, and the Philippines, and so forth. So, friends, this ministry is consumed with the idea of providing for the poor wherever they are. We want to be sure that we offer them as many resources as we possibly can. We don't want to be stuck in the consumer mentality.
Yeah, can you imagine what the $2.5 billion increase in self-storage units could have done, that money could have done, had people not been so consumed with consumerism and so consumed with stuff, what that could have gone to.
Not to mention all the stuff put into the self-storage units.
Exactly.
I mean, we could sell all the stuff, or let's collect all the stuff and all of the self-storage units across America, and let's ship it off to Zambia and Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
That would be something we could do. Anyway, my friends, the consumer mentality ultimately has been encouraged and has very much been espoused in terms of economic theory, by a man by the name of John Maynard Keynes. Now, I've mentioned Keynes before, and I have an entire new chapter. I'm putting in the new and expanded version of Apostate, soon to be released, and you'll have an opportunity to pick up the new and expanded and rewritten Apostate in just a few weeks. But, friends, John Maynard Keynes was the father behind modern consumption. He wanted increased consumption. That was the key to healthy economy as far as he was concerned. It wasn't, as the Bible would present it, character. It wasn't, as the Bible would present it, as hard work. It wasn't, as the Bible would present it, relationships and contentment with food and clothing. This was not John Maynard Keynes' perspective of a healthy economy. So John Maynard Keynes wanted increased consumption, and he recommended lower interest rates and huge debt spending, which would drive higher employment and more consumerism. So that was the whole point for John Maynard Keynes. Keynes assumed that consumerism was the chief motivation to work, and employment stimulated the economy. That was his whole idea. That is, the reason to work was to consume. It was to live out a consumption worldview on the weekend. That was what Keynes considered to be the thing that would stimulate the economy. Therefore, He thought that governments could kickstart a stagnating economy by debt spending, which increased employment, which in turn increased consumer spending. Well, of course, that would not necessarily result in paying off debt. That was the little hitch. And when John Maynard Keynes was asked what happens with your theory in the long run, he said, in the long run, we're all dead, only because he was a homosexual and a pedophile. Very few people understand that he was a pedophile, but the biographies have already been issued on this man, so you can pick up the biographies. You could pick up the next edition of Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to understand that the man behind the economies of Japan, of Europe, of America, and China was effectively a homosexual and a pedophile. Keynes took care to make lists of dozens of anonymous encounters that he had with men in his diaries. He had 65 anonymous encounters with men in 1909. Again, homosexual encounters. He counted them. In any given year, he had 65 in 1909. He had 26 in 1910 and 39 in 1911. Some of his encounters included, quote, boys and youth. In other words, he was a pedophile. Now we have his biographies. Now we have his diaries. We have access to all of this. And it is absolutely certain that this man, John Maynard Keynes, who is the father of modern economies, the modern debt-based economies that was embraced by Ronald Reagan wholeheartedly in the 1980s. The debt-based economy came on very, very strong with first Ronald Reagan and then eventually George W. Bush during his reign between 2000 and 2008. So again, John Maynard Keynes' concept of a debt-inspired, a debt-increased economy or debt-stimulated economy was something that Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush embraced wholeheartedly, and our nations have turned into Keynesian nations over the last 60 to 70 years. Keynes, of course, being the homosexual and the pedophile. Now, it turns out John Maynard Keynes' mother was raised in a Christian Baptist pastor's home. Actually, it was John Bunyan's home, believe it or not. Wow. Some 400 years after the most famous evangelical Baptist lived. So, again, John Maynard Keynes' mother was raised in a Christian Baptist pastor's home. It was John Bunyan's manse. And they worshipped at John Bunyan's meeting house. In fact, John Keynes' mother was raised by a nonconformist bishop or pastor that was a very important element of the Baptist denomination in England during the 1910s and 1920s. So Keynes' mother was raised in a Christian Baptist pastor's home. Keynes' father was raised in a Christian home. His father taught him that he must be like Jesus. His grandmother lived with them in the home where she sat all day with a Bible on her knee, mouthing the words of Scripture. So again, friends, the apostates that destroyed the Western world, in fact, most of the world, are recorded in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Please understand, it has to be, pretty much has to be, somebody was raised with a Christian character, somebody was raised with a Christian heritage, Christian pastors, a Christian heritage that goes back generation after generation after generation. As early as 6 years of age, John Maynard Keynes would express a strong distaste for God. Upon walking out of church one Sunday morning, he spoke loudly so everybody could hear him at 6 years of age. "It's the prayers I dislike the most," he said. At 14 years of age, Keynes studied under a devout Christian headmaster at Eton. However, the preachers at the chapel made him squirm. And he called the messages revolting. He was confirmed at 17 years of age, but he never took it seriously. His delight was to puncture his friends' religious beliefs by refuting arguments for the existence of God, and his first homosexual relationship took place with a young son of an Anglican bishop by the name of Dilwyn Knox. My friends, this is the heritage of the Western world. The heritage of the Western world comes out of a man like John Maynard Keynes, who is the idea man behind the economy of the present day. He is the cause of the breakdown of the massive breakdown of entire socioeconomic systems in America and Canada and Europe, as we see these gigantic Western economies topple, as we see the socioeconomic systems collapse on themselves. Friends, we're going to be looking at a man by the name of John Maynard Keynes. The world economy collapsing was based upon the ideas of John Maynard Keynes. Everybody in the world should at least understand that the fault will lie with a homosexual pedophile and an apostate from John Bunyan's hometown of Bedford, England. That, my friends, is the story of the Western world. That is the story of the fall of Western civilization. People are going to read these stories for the next 100 years or 1,000 years, and they're going to step back and see that it was the apostasy, it was the great apostates of the 19th and 20th century that brought the Western world down. This, my friends, is going to be one of the most interesting stories in all of world history. The death of Western civilization coming at the hands of the great apostates, men like John Maynard Keynes. And that will be included in the next edition of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. And this is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced a Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Thanksgiving, Thursday, November 23rd, A.D. 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Rama, a 21-year-old Kenyan young woman, came to Christ out of Islam recently, reports International Christian Concern. The new African believer said, quote, "Islam was a yoke to my heart, so 3 weeks ago I yielded to the call of God and put my faith in Christ Jesus," end quote. Now, Rama's family has completely rejected her and taken all of her possessions from her, as is common for Muslim families. But Rama said, quote, "I will go as far as it takes to live for God and serve Him regardless of the level of persecution I might face in the future. Christ is my hope. God help me," end quote. Jesus declared in Luke 18:29-30, "There is no one who has left house or parents, or brothers or wife or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time, and in the age to come, eternal life." Dramatic video came out this week showing a North Korean soldier fleeing across the border into South Korea while being shot at by other soldiers. This is the first time the UN command has released security footage of a defection. The UN command now says North Korean soldiers violated the Korean War armistice by firing across the Korean demilitarized zone at the defector. Last week, President Donald Trump proclaimed today as a national day of Thanksgiving, saying, quote, "I encourage all Americans to gather in homes and places of worship to offer a prayer of thanks to God for our many blessings," end quote. In the proclamation, Trump pointed back to the pilgrims who came to Plymouth, Massachusetts in December 1620 aboard the Mayflower. Their governor, William Bradford, called for a day of thanksgiving after God sustained them through their first year in the New World. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." John Rogers, the communications director from Roy Moore's U.S. Senate campaign in Alabama, stepped down from that position this week, reports the Washingtonian. This comes amid allegations of misconduct against Moore, which he has denied. Republican senators, including Ted Cruz and the Republican National Committee, have withdrawn their support for Moore. However, President Trump spoke in favor of Moore on Tuesday, saying, quote, "We don't need a liberal person in there, a Democrat. Jones," end quote. Yesterday, the Ohio Senate passed the Senate version of a bill to protect babies with Down syndrome from being aborted based on their genetic abnormalities. The House passed the same version a few weeks ago, and now both bills have to go to the House and Senate for approval before going to the governor. The Worldview talked with Barry Sheets, the legislative consultant for the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, about the bill. Sheets said the bill has strong support in the House and Senate.
"I don't believe that there's going to be any major hesitation passing the bill. It's got strong numbers in both the House.
she'd share the biggest prayer requests for the bill going forward.
Pray for God's will to be done, because God has revealed his will in his word. He loves the unborn. Death is a symptom of the fall, the curse, and intentionally thinking of a defenseless life like an unborn child is a sin action. Pray that God would change hearts of the elected officials.
And she ended by saying that it's essential for Christians to stand firmly on preserving life with no exceptions, like rape or incest. All children have the right to life. U.S. jobless claims fell mid-November, continuing a record period of low levels, according to data from the Labor Department. Jobless claims have now stayed below 300,000 for nearly 3 years, the longest period since 1970. A Quinnipiac University poll came out recently which revealed that 60% of American women voters say they have experienced sexual harassment. Most of the cases, or nearly 70%, occurred in the workforce, while 15% occurred at home. The number of American singles has grown from about 30% of the population in 1960 to over 50% in recent years, with over 40% of the U.S. workforce being single. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7:2, "Because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." And finally, it's unlike anything astronomers have seen before. Traveling at 85,700 miles per hour, Oumuamua is the first interstellar object scientists have found in our solar system, reports CNN. The long rocky object, at least the size of a football field, rotates rapidly and varies in brightness drastically. Praise God for his creation. And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Thanksgiving, Thursday, November 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.